that we hear God's message for us as we conclude this old year and begin the new. So as we reflect on that, as we think about God's word for us today, I just want to remind us that we are still in the season of Christmas. Christmas is 12 days long, and the early church, in its wisdom, decided that because they wanted to put importance on this feast, this celebration of Christmas, because it's so important. And so we go back to thinking about Christmas for a moment. And so I wonder how is your Christmas season going so far? I hear talk about feasts that just occurred. There's a lot of playing and worshiping going on. It's been a good season of Christmas for most of us. As usual, we spent a few days at the ranch in southern Alberta near Claire's home, where my wife grew up. And we always enjoy going back there to feast and to play and to sing with Joy's family. I think the highlight for me of our Christmas gatherings is always singing Christmas carols together. We just gather around the piano and we sing and we sing and we sing. And it is just the most wonderful experience for me. And then before and after, we eat and we eat and we eat. Joy's mom is a wonderful cook, and she has made countless Christmas feasts over the years. And we also talk and we talk and we talk. And that's actually where it becomes a bit challenging sometimes. And maybe you know what I mean. As we gather for Christmas to celebrate the birth of our Lord, and as we do all this playing and praying and singing and feasting, sometimes it's the relating that can be challenging. And I think you know what I mean. Not everyone gets along. And in Joy's loving family, there's also some little points of tension with certain people. And so it can be a real challenge to gather us together, to have those conversations, and to kind of push it through and to try to love one another. Now, over the years, we've kind of learned that it's probably best to keep at it, to keep showing up, to keep kind of plugging away at the relationship, to keep trying to keep those channels of communication open, showing up so we can encourage each other. And this is what we want to talk about today, or what God is going to address today through His Word. Because we want to talk today, we want to look at a passage that talks about mutual encouragement. This passage shows us the way to encourage each other so we can become a stronger and more loving faith community. So let's go there now. A reading from Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, You have sent Your Son to this earth, the Word made flesh for us. And now as we seek to hear Your living Word, we pray that it would penetrate our hearts and that the Word made flesh would speak His living Word to us, that we would receive it, and that we would be encouraged, and we would be sent out to encourage others in this new year. But we pray it in the name of the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we acknowledge that we're still in the season of Christmas, of course, we also acknowledge that we are beginning a new year. And so what is God's will for us in 2018? We've already thanked God for the year gone by, and it's important that we do that. But we also need to look at the year to come and to ask God what he wants from us this year. How will we be intentional in our faith formation and outreach in this new year? Now, today's service theme is encourage one another. And that's why we chose this text today, because I think it does a really nice job showing us how to encourage each other as we begin a new year. So how do we do that? How can we be this prayerful community of love that God is calling us to be? That's his vision for the church. We think of Acts chapter 2, the early church, prayerful community of love. This is God's vision for every local church. So how do we get there? Well, happily, the writer of Hebrews in this passage shows us the way. And the first thing he gives us is the good news. And I think that is always the right place to start. The writer, if you read through this epistle to the Hebrews, it is full of gospel, full of good news. And the writer spends chapters talking about how Jesus is the great high priest who was to come, how he was greater than Moses, greater than the angels, and how because Jesus came, because God sent his son, we no longer need to have human priests offer sacrifices for sins. Now, could there be better news than that? That is the wonderful news that we need to hear as we begin this new year, that God has made a way for us to be with him through Christ. Now, if we were, I'm reading through Leviticus right now in the Old Testament in my daily Bible reading. You know, all the sacrifices and offerings that were required, all of the rules and regulations. Just imagine what it would be like if we were still back in that time period, and that the Old Testament priests had to slaughter the animals and sprinkle the blood on the altar and offer up the sacrifices. The sacred rituals that occurred. Imagine only the high priest able to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. There is this barrier between God and humans. That is the way it was for centuries back in the Old Testament. The good news for us today, as Hebrews talks about over and over again, also in our text, that God has made a way for us to be with him through Christ. Now, there's no other way that we can approach God. We must approach God the Father through God the Son. And that's why God sent his Son to this earth, to take on flesh for us, because we needed a perfect human and divine sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the great high priest who offered the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. This is the good news that we desperately need to hear as we begin a new year. And so out of gratitude for this good news, this wonderful salvation that God gives us, we go now and we obey God's word. And there's three very clear commands that come out in this text today. So the first one, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. At this point, the writer of the Hebrews says, okay, out of gratitude for this good news that God has made a way for us to come to him through Christ, we now respond by coming to God in a certain way. This command talks about the manner by which we approach God. We already know the means we approach God. It's through Christ's sacrificial death. There's no other way to come near to God except through Christ. But now, how do we approach this God who saves us? So this is actually a command that relates to the ministry of worship. How do we approach God in worship? Well, the writer of Hebrews says, we draw near to him with a sincere heart. And again, we think about the Old Testament priests being the set-apart, anointed ones to go into the Holy of Holies. They had to be cleansed and clean and just right with God before they went into the Holy of Holies. That was their approach. They had to prepare themselves to worship God. And although, happily, we don't have to do that, we are now clean through Christ. We're anointed, set apart through Christ, through his life, death, teaching, and resurrection. We still have to approach God in the right way. Not flippantly, not just doing whatever we want. The writer of Hebrews talks about this humble and sincere approach that we come to God in worship. Now, this doesn't mean that our worship has to be always formal. There are formal moments in every worship service, which is right and good, because we're in the throne room. You don't just do whatever you want in the presence of a king, right? We would never do what we want in the presence of our queen. We would follow the protocols. The same happens when we approach our God, our king, in worship. And yet, our king is also our loving father. He's the one who sent his son to die for us, to save us, so we could come to him. And so we come now with this humble confidence, bowing before God's throne of grace and receiving all that we need, especially the forgiveness of sins. So we come with this humble confidence to God in worship, whether it's private or corporate, and I think corporate is where the writer's leaning towards in this text. We come with the full assurance that faith brings. Jesus died for me so that I can now be with God forever. Again, that's the good news. And that is what God offers to us today. And he says, now come to me full of gratitude, with humble and sincere hearts, knowing that I will and I have forgiven you through Christ. You can come and be with me in worship. So let's resolve to walk through the door that God has opened through Christ. Let's not let another moment pass without worshiping God in spirit and in truth, in this sanctuary, but also in our homes, in our neighborhoods, living a life of worship and sacrifice every moment of our lives. But it starts here. So let's come and worship God in the sanctuary, worship him in spirit and in truth this year, being humble and confident that we are acceptable before God because of Christ. Let me get our second command. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. I wonder what your hope is in this new year. What are you hoping for? We always begin a new chapter of life with hope. We begin a new year with hope. What are we hoping for this year? What is our ultimate hope? Well, we can all enter this new year with hope this year because of the gospel. We've already heard it. We hear it again. We can be with God through Christ. Through his death, the writer of Hebrews says, the curtain between us and God has been lifted. The great barrier removed because of Christ's death. So now there's no more need for human priests, thanks be to God. Jesus is the great high priest who's offered the once for all sacrifice for sin. We can now come directly to God in worship and also in prayer, asking him for everything we need. And I wanted to repeat that because there's something important about saying what you believe. We are people of the book. We are people of the Christian faith. There's a language of faith. We need to say what we believe. We learn what we believe. Now we need to say it. And that's why we profess our faith regularly in this sanctuary, usually through the Apostles' Creed or through Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. but also through other gospel texts that we hear. A few of them that came to mind: John 3:16, Romans chapters 3, 5, and 8, Ephesians 2, and 1 Corinthians 15. There are countless gospel summaries in the Bible that we can use to profess our faith, not to mention all of the Psalms as well, which help us profess our faith in God. So regardless of the specific Bible passage, creed, or confession that you choose to profess your faith, or that we choose as a worship team in this sanctuary, let us profess it. Let us say what we believe, and let us, as the writer of Hebrews says, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Third command: let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, this is the part we've been kind of waiting for as we think about our service being about encouraging one another. The writer of Hebrews has tilled the soil, if you like, giving us the gospel, telling us to come to God with a sincere heart in worship, telling us to profess our faith in Christ often so we can remember what we believe and know that God is faithful. And now we come to the application part, or the implications of this text, how we approach others. The first two commands talk about how we approach God in worship and in our faith. Now we talk about how we approach others. So how do we approach others? The writer of Hebrews calls us to encourage each other toward love and good deeds. So how do we do that in a broken, isolated, and fragmented world? I've wrestled with that quite a bit in our neighborhood. After years of trying to reach out to our neighbors, I am still surprised and perplexed how some of them want nothing to do with me. And maybe you think, well, that's not too hard to understand. I don't want anything to do with you either. That may be. But you know what I mean. Like, how can people shut each other out? And yet this happens over and over and over again. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, that does not lead to the good life in the kingdom of God. That is not what we're called to do. We are called to encourage each other towards love and good deeds. We need each other. Some of you gave your testimony saying, thank you for helping me in a time of need. This is exactly how it is supposed to be in the body of Christ. We need each other. We need encouragement constantly, and we need to encourage others. And so how does this work? Well, happily, the writer of Hebrews gives us some steps to take to encourage each other toward love and good deeds. How do we do this? He says, through at least two ways. And the first one is a negative command. He says, by not giving up meeting together. Brothers and sisters, your presence in this church family and in this sanctuary is exceedingly important. Don't ever think otherwise. Don't think that if I just don't show up, no one will notice that I'm gone or that it doesn't matter. It matters. Your presence matters in this church family. We need you, and you need us so that we can move forward and grow in faith together and reach out to this broken and needy world. So the writer of Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together. And I think that's a primary command for do not give up meeting together in the sanctuary to worship God. But I think it goes further than that. Do not give up meeting together in your small group. Do not give up meeting together in your committee meeting or whatever club or association you are, whatever ministry you're a part of. Do not give up meeting together because your presence matters. So please show up so you can be encouraged and so you can encourage others. So that's the first thing we do. That's the negative command. as we try to fulfill the command to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The second part of this is a positive command. Encourage one another. And again, this is our service theme. But I'm wondering, could this be the theme of our year? Could this be the year of encouraging one another? And I'm wondering what would happen if we actually lived that out. Could you imagine being part of a church that sought to encourage one another, that really went out of its way to love each other? When someone was missing, there was a phone call or a visit saying, "Hey, how are you doing? We missed you on Sunday," or "We missed you at our committee meeting or small group. How are you doing?" Just imagine that kind of church and this church being that church. Imagine what would happen in our church family. Imagine the spirit of this family. What would that be like? This is an encouraging church. I want to be clear about that. But I think the writer of Hebrews is saying, can we be more encouraging? Can we be more intentional with our encouragement this year? I think we can, and with God's help, we can and we will as we obey His word. I'm also wondering if this could be a path to spiritual renewal and church growth. The sad reality is that most local churches are in decline or they're stagnant. They're kind of leveled off, plateaued in their membership. That's a sad reality we face now in North America, perhaps especially in Canada, where we are a secular humanistic country. Many people are forgetting about God these days. I wonder if this could be the path to spiritual renewal, really, really encouraging each other. I think this is a good way forward, and I think we should all let's apply this year. Let's be intentional with our encouragement. And so I'm wondering, what would this look like in daily life? Well, a few practices come to my mind, and maybe for you as well. We've already talked about showing up in the sanctuary. Please show up here. This is where you are encouraged in your faith as you hear God's word proclaimed and receive the sacraments and worship God in spirit and in truth. But this is also where you are encouraged through fellowship, making new friends and being loved. The coffee time before and after the service is very important. This is where we encourage each other. We ask, "How are you doing? And how can I encourage you today? And please encourage me." So that's important. But what about extending that time? Another practice, extending hospitality to each other. I wonder, when is the last time you had someone over for coffee or a meal or invited them out to the coffee shop? Extending hospitality is a really wonderful way to encourage each other. And I think this also is a way forward for us as a church that claims to be a hospitable church. How can we extend our hospitality to each other and to our neighbors and community this year? I think it takes the right attitude or posture, and I want to talk about that for a moment. Somebody mentioned that our lives are full, and that's true, because our culture is saying, in order to be important, you have to have a full schedule. Have you noticed that? You're not important unless you're really busy. That's actually not a biblical concept, by the way. Jesus never ran. Have you noticed that reading the Gospels? Jesus never ran. He worked hard. He never ran. He even took time to rest. We are invited to maybe gear it down a little bit this year, to actually do fewer things and do them well, and create more margins in our lives so we can actually reach out to others. So how will we do it? How in the world is this possible to obey all of these commands, to really be intentional with our encouragement this year. Happily, the writer of Hebrews gives us this final vision in the passage that we all need to move us forward. He says, the day is approaching. Encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. What is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord, the day of Jesus' return. The good news is not only the gospel that Jesus has come in the flesh to save us, to die for us. That is the good news. But the good news continues that Jesus will one day return and he'll judge the world. He'll set everything right. He'll make all things new. I love this stanza from Our World Belongs to God. It's another kind of profession of faith for us today. Listen to what we hear about the return of our Lord. On that day, we will see our Savior face to face, sacrifice Lamb and triumphant King, just and gracious. He will set all things right, judge evil, and condemn the wicked. We face that day without fear, for the judge is our Savior, whose shed blood declares us righteous. We live confidently, anticipating his coming, offering him our daily lives, our acts of kindness, our loyalty, and our love, knowing that he will weave even our sins and sorrows into his sovereign purpose. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. We are looking forward to the return of our Lord. He will come back one day. That is the vision that we need to hold before us at all times as we now go on and seek to encourage each other this year. So today the Lord, at the end of this year, as we begin another, the Lord has called us to draw near to him with a sincere heart in worship. He's called us to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess because he is faithful. And he's called us to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And all of this is out of gratitude for God's salvation, that God has made a way for us to come to him through Christ. And then he gives us this grand vision of the return of our Lord that will help us move forward this year so we can actually engage in this ministry of encouragement. Brothers and sisters, let us take God's word seriously today. Let us actually apply it to our lives. May this be the most encouraging year that we could ever have, because we are now following God's will and we are seeking to reach out to each other. And I look forward to that ministry of encouragement this year. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. We say amen, but actually the message is not quite done, because one of our elders, Ken Vanderwecken, is going to come now, and he's going to give us the illustration or the final story for our sermon today. So thank you, Ken.
This this started with a conversation that Pastor and I had a while ago, and some of you who know me have heard some of this story before, but I just wanted to share this with the congregation today. So I would like to introduce you to a person who has had a profound influence in my life. In fact, if it were not for her, I would not be standing here today. I was introduced to her by my father in 1992, just after my grandfather died. My grandfather had a thing for family trees, which is quite extensive, and Marlene says a little bit inbred, but anyways, just after he died, my dad inherited these boxes full of his documents that he had helped to put our family tree together, and dad pulled out this book, this one right here, and this book starts with a short description of a woman named Katya. It also includes 25 letters that were written by Katya to a sea captain named Mr. P. Tahar. That's who wrote this book. These letters were letters of encouragement to Mr. Tahar, who was a sea captain by trade, but he was also a lay pastor, a lay preacher, I should say. And he would, if he was in port on the weekends, would preach in church. And because he was a preacher, he was also criticized. That's just the par for the course for preachers, is that they preach the word, but they are also attacked as well. And so he suffered from a lot of discouragement. And so she would write letters of encouragement to this man. And these letters meant so much to this gentleman that he collected them and he put them in this book. Now, it's written in Dutch, and so I have a hard time translating it. And contrary to popular opinion, Google is terrible at translating. The reason why this woman has had influence in my life is that she is my, and we figured this out this morning, my great-great-great-grandfather's aunt. She was born March 18th, 1813, and died August 7, 1885. I have translated a bit of this, and so it's kind of neat to hear the descriptions of her. She was a type of woman as described in this book as a godly woman who raised her children to fear God, took care of others, and provided encouragement with both her words and her actions. Her actions have been passed down through the generations, and I saw these characteristics in both my father and my grandfather. These actions were also passed down through generations by people like Mr. Pitar, who took the time to save these letters. So why am I telling you this story? First of all, I am here today because of this woman. She chose to teach her children, and her children taught their children, and so on. And so God's gift of salvation is actually part of my DNA. Second, she is an example of the influence that your encouragement can have on others, as seen by Mr. Tahar, who published this book. So therefore, to follow up on the sermon, my challenge has two things today. So this New Year's Eve, as you make resolutions for 2018, here's the two things that I want to encourage you. So think about the people who have influenced you. Why are you here today? How did they encourage you? Now, I'm fortunate to have a long family history of God-fearing ancestors. Others are here today because someone simply took the time to show God's love through a small action or a word. The path to this point is not important. What is important is that somebody took the time to encourage you. Second, think about how you can encourage others. I am here today because of people God used to encourage me both personally and professionally. Who do you have influence over? Start by teaching your children or family how to fear God. Read them the Bible. Pray for them. Show them by your example. Become, by God's grace, a Katya to your descendants. So identify someone in your circles that you can be an example to. Give them words of encouragement. Become a Katya to someone who will identify you as an encourager. Thank you.
And all God's people say, amen. Thank you, Elder Ken, for that fitting illustration and encouragement and challenge. And happily, as we start this, end this old year well, and start off this new year right, we have received a challenge. We've received God's word regarding this ministry of encouragement. We are now invited into that. God has encouraged us through Christ. We're invited into that ministry. And happily, we are now nourished for the task or for the calling. We are again encouraged through this gospel sacrament that we're about to receive today. So I love this moment. We call this a sacrament. It's a sacred moment in the life of the church, in our lives, where God ministers to us. He reveals himself to us in a deeply spiritual way as we eat the bread and drink of the cup. And so as we gather here now, we are sort of, we're receiving the gospel again. The gospel is being illustrated and embodied, even ingested, if you like, through the sacrament. But also now we are nourished for the journey of reaching out and encouraging people in this new year. So this is a wonderful moment. Let's give thanks to God for it. Let's lift up our hearts to the Lord in prayer. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who came among us as the Word made flesh to show us your glory, full of grace and truth. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people say, Amen. This feast for which we gather remembers Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. This feast for which we gather proclaims the good news of forgiveness. This feast for which we gather nourishes us with Jesus' own life. This feast for which we gather celebrates the sure hope we have of Jesus' coming. Come to the joyful feast of the Lord. We serve a majestic God whose compassion moved him to send his only Son from heaven to earth. This Son, born in a stable, lived and worked among us. He taught, he healed, he served, and he loved. This Son loved so much that he died for us, rose for us, and lives for us. He ascended to heaven, where he is our mediator, interceding with the Father on our behalf. Before that time, Jesus, he broke the bread with the disciples, and he simply said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup. And he drank, and he said, "This is a new covenant. Therefore, in remembrance and in celebration, we eat the bread and drink from the cup. We proclaim our Lord's death and life until he returns." Let us pray. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And as we prepare to come to the table, we receive God's gracious invitation today. This feast. Most of us have had a Christmas feast at some point in the Christmas season, and maybe there's another one coming for New Year's. This is a great feast, not in terms of the amount of food and drink that we receive, but in the spiritual abundance that we partake of at this table. This is a great feast of the Lord that we are now invited to enjoy. And it's for anyone and everyone who is a devoted follower of Christ. So if you're truly sorry for your sins, and if you have humbled yourself before God and confessed your sins and pledged your allegiance to Christ, and you're seeking to live for Jesus now and always, you are invited to come to this table. And if you're sitting here today thinking, "Well, I'm actually not sure if I'm a devoted follower of Christ, you may want to hang back and just watch this cosmic drama unfold and see how the gospel is illustrated before your eyes so you can learn more what it means to be a devoted follower of Christ. Happily, children of age and ability appropriate faith in Christ are also welcome if their parents or guardians allow them to come. So I invite the servers to come forward as we prepare to distribute the elements. Our custom is to usually come forward, so down the center aisle, leaving your seats, coming down the center aisle to receive a piece of bread and a cup, and then you're invited to take it back to your seat, and after everyone has been served, we will eat and drink together. There's also a gluten-free option on the table. Please help yourself if you need that option today. And as we think about the coming forward today, and as we think about the Christmas season, I would like to invite you to imagine yourself coming to the stable with the shepherds to worship the Christ child, if that helps you to kind of fully engage in this Christmas communion today. However you imagine it, you are invited to come and receive God's grace through the sacrament. Jesus Christ is born for you to die for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. And now, as you come, if there are some children here who are not ready for communion, you're invited to come and visit me over here on the side if you like, and I would happily bless you today. Please come to the table of the Lord.
Teach my song to rise to you when temptation.
Christ given for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you for serving today. Did they get some? The body of Christ given for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you, elders, for serving. This is the body of Christ given for you for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. Let us eat it together. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us drink. Through this holy feast, the Lord nourishes us unto salvation, nourishes us so we can go out and encourage each other this year. Let us give thanks to God for it. We thank you, O God, that you remembered your promise to reconcile the world to yourself, that you've come among us in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh. As our substitute, he suffered all his years on earth, especially in the horrible torture of the cross. We thank you that he carried your judgment on our sin, that his sacrifice removes our guilt, and that he walked out of the grave, the Lord of life, conqueror of sin and death. Lord Jesus, as both God and man, be our only mediator between God and your people. You alone paid the debt of our sin. There is no other Savior. In you, the Father chose those whom he would save. Now may your electing love sustain our hope. Your grace is free to save us sinners who offer nothing but our need for mercy. Stay with us in the Spirit to renew our hearts, move us to faith, lead us in the truth, stand by us in our need, and make our obedience fresh and vibrant. And all God's people say, Amen. We have been encouraged today as we've worshiped the newborn King, celebrated the birth of our Lord. Also, as we have heard this word from God about his encouragement to us and how we are called to encourage others, and we have received God's grace through the sacrament. Now we are sent out to encourage each other and our neighbors and the world with this Christmas blessing. You're invited to rise, please. The joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the Magi, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always, even and especially in this new year. And all God's people say, Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Shoulder. resurrection. Thank you for the power of your blood. I am overwhelmed by your affection, the kindness and the greatness of your love. The kindness and the greatness of your
and have a blessed New Year's Eve.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. The king of my heart.